Okay, fantastic. Hey, if you've got a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to be going to a lot of different verses today. So if you have your little app there on your phone, it's going to really work out well for you today because I have a lot of different things that I'm going back and forth to. Hey, we've been in this, I'll call it an unusual series because it's not a series you hear every day. In fact, when you head anywhere, you're not going to hear many series on this subject called work. In fact, even when I was talking about this subject, you know, I had somebody say to me, why do I want to, I have to work all week. Why do I want to come to church on Sunday and have to hear about it again? And I get it. That's funny. He was joking, by the way. That wasn't sarcastic. He was joking. And so, but here's the picture. Here's the picture. If as believers, our desire is to love the Lord with God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, is to serve Him with all of who we are. And therefore, since work is such a huge, huge part of your life, you will spend the greater majority of your life working. Therefore, those who can serve the Lord in their work are well on their way to obviously serving Him with all that they are. In fact, I'm here to say is that Lord, please, you know, so many times the thought of Lord, please use me, Lord, I want to be a light for you. And we think about maybe through some church ministry or serving at the church by way as a teacher or work with children or whatever. But I want you to know that the greatest mission field out there, the greatest opportunities, we're going to talk about this in a couple of weeks when we finish this series. The greatest opportunity out there is the workplace. It is the place where most everybody is. And so, anyway, I was real excited about this because, number one, it's kind of a unique kind of a series. But also, too, I wanted us to think about these things because a lot of people have separated. They've separated their spiritual lives from their work life, saying, well, there's just no way you can mix those two together. And it's just not the truth. Because if you separate your work life from your spiritual life, then you've just separated a huge portion of your life that you're saying, Lord, that one's not yours. And so that makes sense. So this is the reason for this series. And this series is going to be, it's going to be 6 weeks long. And the first week, we talked about who do you work for. Now, that's huge. And we're going to start with that today because we're going to start with that every week because that is huge. That becomes the great motivation for doing what we do and understanding that particular thought. Who do you work for? Okay, who do you work for? And that's where last week we used the verse in Colossians. Well, every week. This is the first week, but we've used it every week, and you'll hear it every week of this series. Kind of the key verse is Colossians chapter 3. It says that whatever you do, and I love that whatever. The whatever is again, whatever you do, whether you work at a regular employment 40 hours a week, whether you work doing something that's more like 60 or 70 hours a week, whether you are a stay-at-home parent that tends and looks after children and other things like that, whether you're a volunteer, whatever you do, it says there, work heartily. The word heartily means work at it with all your heart because you're working for the Lord and not for men. So this particular passage that whatever you do in your work, give it your best because you're not just working for a company or a boss. You're working for the Lord. And that's the motivation that we need as believers. It's a pretty big deal. And I'm here to tell you, if you find joy and contentment and fulfillment in the workplace, I'm here to tell you you're adding a whole lot of joy, contentment, and fulfillment in your life because you spend so much of your time doing it. So that kind of gives you, if you're brand new today, it's the first time you've been, or maybe first time in a while, that kind of catches you up as much as we can. So the first week was who do you work for? Second week we talked about work ethics, that is doing things correctly. Okay. Third week we talked about a word to the boss, a word to the boss, and then how it's kind of tough today to be a boss, or if you even go farther than that, it's hard today to be someone who is in authority, someone who sets parameters, someone who enforces rules. You're not usually a real popular person if you have to enforce those things. And it's just the truth. That's why we talked about different things. Policemen, those that are in authority, bosses, those who have to enforce this, and this. And so we talked about that last week. But today is a word for the employee. That is a word for those who work underneath others. I found that when we talked about a word to the boss last week, we talked about so many in the room, because at some time in your life, you're going to have people who are underneath you, that is underneath your authority. And so this whole picture, because the reason I talk about authority a lot is because the scriptures are, God takes it really seriously, this whole issue of authority. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in just a minute. So a word to employ, and that is, and we're talking to you today. If somebody is paying for your time and your talents, the scriptures teach that as a believer, that we should work and we should give it our best. I believe with all my heart that the hardest and the best workers in any company, in any small business, in any employment, the hardest and best workers ought to be those who are true believers. Because your motivation and your work ethic depends on your working for the Lord and trying to do your best because it's for Him. I think it ought to be that way. Because of what's happened in here, if you are a true believer. So we're going to kind of walk through this. This is a little different of a message, but it's very practical. The great part about this series is it affects most everybody in the room. And if it doesn't affect you, it either has affected you at one time or it's going to affect you. And this is the way you look at it. Okay, it's really pretty neat. So let's walk into number one. And we're going to hit several of these pretty quick. But I have several characteristics, or several, if you will, thoughts about those who those of us that are working. All right, let's take a look at it. Number one is what I'm going to call consistent in their character. If you were here last week, it's the same number one as last week. Number one last week was, under a word to the boss, is someone who's consistent in their character. Character has to do with who you are. That is who you are in here. And it eventually is going to make its way to the surface. Therefore, as a believer, when it makes its way to the surface, if truly you've been changed from the inside out, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, is a new creation, old things passed away, all things have become new. Therefore, it becomes something that He does on the inside. Therefore, your character, when it comes out, it should be affected and obviously made different by your relationship with God in Christ. So therefore, it should show. I have found it's not so much about trying, okay, to be a good worker. It's about being that, because that's who you are in here. Therefore, those who are strongest in their faith, those who obviously have grown in here, are the ones who should these things should come out. But these particular character traits that come out of who a person is. Now, number one is a little bit broad. It throws a broad net. But number one, underneath, okay, I have three traits. Consistent in character. There's these character traits. There are many character traits. But there are three, I think, that kind of stick out. And number one is just honesty. Just sheer honesty. And honesty is a large blanket to throw, large net to cast. But I just want to just kind of focus on one thought of the responsibility of those of us who are underneath others' authority. Those of us who are working. Those of us that are doing the work. And one of the great character traits, and I'm here to tell you, of being a light and being who God's called us to be, is just simple honesty. Now, I love this. I threw this verse in here just for fun. And because I found that as I was studying and praying about, hey, how do I want to share this with you? When I came across this, I said, I've got to use this. I don't know how, but I've got to use this. But in Proverbs chapter 22, this is what it says. This is classic. It says, the sluggard, or if you will, the lazy person, or the one who always comes up with excuses not to work. Okay, the sluggard, that's what a sluggard is. The sluggard says, there's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the street. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but it's actually pretty funny. It's an absurd illustration that Solomon is using here. that somebody who is lazy, somebody who does not work hard, will always come up with an excuse so that they don't have to work hard. That's why he says, oh, there's a lion in the street. I can't go to work today. Right? So here's the picture. I'm going to use this whole thought of honesty is this. And these things, I did not realize it until last night, but this can be a pretty introspective type message. You're going to be gazing off and thinking here when I share these things with you, because it's pretty important stuff. And there may be some things that you see that you don't like. But these are what these things the scripture says is iron sharpens iron. We kind of rub against those things so that we can be better. But what is this picture? As a believer and as a worker, those that work, that when you say something, is it believed? Is it believed? When you call in sick, how do the people at work respond? Oh, he must really be sick for him to call in sick. Or do they say, oh, this is his once every other week call. He's probably out fishing. Okay? Here's the thought. This is what we're talking about. As a believer, honesty is huge. Don't try to be a light at your workplace if you're dishonest. It's just, how are you going to do it? Because people are going to look at you and say, what? So there's this, again, I'm not talking about perfection, and I'm not saying we're going to do it perfectly, but when it comes down to it, just sheer honesty in your work and the way that you work. When something blows up in a business situation, and you come back and they want you to share with them what happened, and you tell the story, do they believe it? Or do you have a track record of saying whatever you can say to get out or whatever? I mean, you know what I'm saying. So when I'm talking about honesty here, I'm just talking about, I think it's a character trait as who we are, that when we share, it's believable. I tell you, it's an amazing thing. I've learned through the years in doing what I do. I've been in a lot of jobs where I'm underneath people's authority, and in jobs that have people that are underneath me. But either way you look at it, it's the same concept. When something is said, is it believable? Or does the person need to call and check on what you've said? It's an interesting thing, right? So the first one here in character traits is what I'm just going to call honesty. Just sheer honesty. Can you be trusted? Do you constantly make dishonest excuses? Interesting. Number two is what I'm going to call faithfulness. Faithfulness. Character, faithfulness. Therefore, again, these are just simple things. These are not difficult things to understand, but they can be tough. Are you known as someone who is faithful in how they work? Therefore, when a job is given you to do, is it going to be done? Is it like clockwork? Or are you one that has to be kind of stood over and people look at you or you'll slough off or you'll waste time or you'll do whatever? I found faithfulness is huge. I would love to go over this entire parable, but this is what I had you turn to in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, Jesus tells a parable. Now, the point of this parable is different than the way we're going to use it this morning. But the principles that are underlying it are there. That's the ones I want to talk about. The point behind this, and this is the parable of the talents, if you are familiar with it. And this is where, you know, somebody goes to town, he entrusts these people, you know, with money, basically, to invest. And we are responsible to God with how we invest what's been entrusted to us. That's kind of the point of the. But in the particular parable itself, here's what I want to talk to you about. This is interesting. Take a look at chapter 25 and verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. Now, here's the picture. Here's the picture. Now, again, servants, we have a little bit of a hard time. We talked about this last week. I want to go ahead and tell you this. We're going to especially see it in a minute. When you look at the whole master-servant relationship, It's the picture. It's the same concept. Because someone who is in charge, boss, whatever, they have bought your time and your talents for a specific amount of time. That becomes the concept. And therefore, you are to give them your time and your talents for the amount of time that has been specified. And to do your best. And so there's this picture. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But there's this man who had servants, and he was going away on a long journey, and so he entrusted. If you like writing your Bible, take a look at that passage there. It says there in verse 14, it says, he entrusted them with his property. Therefore, he gave it to them, and that they would be responsible to him. But he was really going to take a look at their faithfulness. How are you when you are entrusted? This comes up huge in a person's life. When a person is found faithful to do what they've been told to do, it's incredible how that they will tend to move up. But faithfulness is huge in the life of a believer, especially because so much is built around faithfulness. It's putting our faith and trust in who Christ is and what he did on our behalf. But also, we know that Christ is faithful, but it is something that he wants in our life, being faithful to your spouse. That's something that's really gone to the wayside today. Being faithful to your friends. But also being faithful in your work. It is who we're supposed to be. It just makes sense. So this guy goes away. And he entrusts. He gives five talents. What does it say there? Five talents to one. There it is, verse 15. To one he gave five talents, the other two, the other one, each according to his ability. Then he went away. Look what it says there, each according to his ability. Now, this may seem strange. Why would he give, here we go. Why would he give 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1? Well, that's not, if you're looking for fair, don't be a follower of Jesus. I'm serious. If you're looking for fair, if you want everything to be equitable, everything to be fair, it's just not the truth. Well, take a look around you. There are people in here that have bigger, stronger bodies than others. We have people in here who are smarter than others. It's just not fair. But remember this, you're not judged according to what you have. You're only judged according to what you do have. Therefore, when you give it your best, it is your best. Not to be compared with what somebody else's best is. But this whole thing of being envious and greedy of what other people have, and this wanting to make everything equitable, I'm here to tell you, it is a nightmare. You'll see it in just a minute. Therefore, learn this. Each according to his ability, this is what they were given. Well, one guy got five, one guy got two, and one guy got one. And therefore, they're going to go out and they're going to be entrusted with this to invest it on behalf of the owner while he's gone. Hey, well, there comes the picture is that when the owner comes back after a very long time, the owner, or in this case, the master, comes back and he calls everybody in. You have it? Okay, take a look at Matthew. Okay, he says there, and after a long time, the master of the servants came and he settled accounts with them. Now here's the picture. Therefore, whenever you've been entrusted with something, one day you're going to have to give an account. This is when the dishonesty will come up if you have not been faithful. Well, you know, a lot of people struggle. I had a flat tire. No, the dog ate it. That's when all the stuff comes as to why you haven't been faithful and executed with what's been entrusted to you. But notice here, in this particular case, two of them came and said, yes, we invested, we worked real hard, and the guy with five came back with five more. The guy with two came back with two more. Notice that the same reward goes to the five who went to ten as the one who went from two to went to four. Why? Because in God's eyes, he's not impressed with how much. He's impressed with how faithful. Hope you were listening to that. I'm not going to say it again. All right. So we have this guy with one. And he decides, no, thank you. I'm not going to work for your behalf. How does it profit me? That's what this guy with the got one, you know. Why am I going to go out? I know I'm your servant, whatever. But, you know, you're going away, and I'm going to do what I want to do. All right, here, this is interesting. Let's take a look at what was said to him when you look at it in the context of work. He who had received one talent came forward, saying, Master, I know that you're a hard man. Here it is, reaping where you did not sow and gather where you scattered no seed. In other words, why am I going to go out and work to earn you more? You hear what this guy's saying? Continue to read. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent. The word talent is just money, by the way. Just a unit of measurement. Kind of like the British pound. Your talent in the ground, here it is, what is yours? Also, like, it was like, well, you know, I'm kind of afraid of you, too. In other words, so really, boss, it's your fault. How many times do we hear that? You know, well, it was the boss's fault. You know, if he wasn't such a jerk, then I would have. You know, it's always somebody else's fault. But I'm here to tell you, as a believer, you don't work for that boss. If you truly are a believer, you work for Christ. You've seen it over and over and over and over again. I've even heard people say that actually have tried to legitimize stealing by saying, oh, these people here got enough money, they'll never miss it. Seriously? Seriously? Oh, Jeff, everybody, I'm not worried about everybody else. If you're a believer here today, that's all I'm worried about today. If you're not a believer today, then we'll talk to you about that at another time. I'm talking to believers here today that say, hey, listen, I want to be who Christ wants me to be. Then I'm here to tell you that you work for Him. And that one day you'll be accountable to Him for how you worked. It's a scary thought. It's a sobering thought. That's why I told you today. Okay, today is going to be introspective, but it's also going to be politically incorrect. We'll get to that in a minute. This is not what's being taught today. This is not the work ethic that is taught. But the Scriptures teach a work ethic, and that's what I wanted to share with you today. Interesting, isn't it? So therefore, doing our best, all right? Honesty, faithfulness, and then number three is genuineness. Now, this one is a classic. Genuineness. That is working with a sincere heart. Jeff, what do you mean? Well, let's read about it in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. It says, bondservants, obey your masters. Here's the picture. Again, this is what I shared with you last week. Bondservants are those who are owned. Their time is owned fully. When you look at it in today's world, we don't have those things. And you'll see in a minute, he even refers to those who are free workers. But remember this as far as freedom, not working for free, but free workers. And so again, it's the same concept. If you hire yourself out for 8 hours a day, then that person who has bought that time and talent, they own that time. And it's stealing to use that time for anything else. I hope you're hearing me. Oh, well, Javi, No. I'm talking, if you're a believer here today, that is the concept. It's the same concept. So look at this. It says, bondservants, obey. That is, again, we'll talk a little bit more about this in a minute. Be underneath the authority of those, it says, with fear and trembling. Now, what we're talking about here, fear and trembling, like it says, when the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, we're talking about respect. We're talking about reverence. In other words, respecting who the person is and understanding that they're the one that is in charge. All right, let's continue to read. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. It says here, with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Therefore, if someone has hired you out for whatever specified time, then you're to work as hard as you can and work sincerely. The word sincerity here, especially in the New Testament, is a rich word. It basically means not to put up a front or a facade. It actually means it came from a word that when they used to bake pottery and cracks would happen, they would fill the cracks in with wax and then paint over it, and it would look like the pottery didn't have any cracks in it because it was fake. They filled in and they painted over. That was called insincere. You're portraying this piece of pottery as being something that it's not. So as a believer, you are not to be faking it. Okay, Jeff, I'm still not getting it. Read the rest of it. This is classic. Here we go. It says this. As you would Christ, not by way of eye service. Okay, you know what eye service means? Here's eye service. Have you ever been around? I've done this many times, especially when I used to work kind of hard labor unloading trucks. I remember one time that I worked in construction of pools, swimming pools. And we had work teams on several different jobs. And it was an amazing transformation when they would see the boss's truck pull up. I mean, everybody worked hard when the boss's truck pulled up. I mean, everybody's, you know, and but as soon as he drives off, then half or more, oh, I'm glad he's gone. That's called fake. That's called only working hard when you're being watched. That's called insincere. As a believer, you're working for someone who sees you all the time. Everything that you do, you're always being monitored. Right? You're working for the Lord. Now, these aren't always easy things to hear, but they're important. Because I've found that the testimony that we have at our workplace is wrapped up in these things. Does that make sense? So, not with just eye service. Look at the other one. As people pleasers. What is a people pleaser? That is someone who will tell you anything you want to hear, whether it's true or not. Not always easy, is it? That's somebody who's basically, the scripture says here, is kind of fake, insincere in this particular picture. Again, these are interesting passages. We're going to hit another one here in a minute. They make us think. Because the state of the workforce in America has almost ground to a standstill as people invent ways to get out of doing what they were hired to do. That is not the way it is to be among you as a believer. Right? I found the person that always works hard doesn't have to keep looking for the boss's truck to pull up. He didn't have to worry. She didn't have to worry. The one who always works hard doesn't have to worry. And it sticks out. It's an incredible thing. It's incredible. Let's continue right here. But as bondservants of Christ, now look at this. This is gonna stagger you. Doing the will of God from the heart. I want you to know that you working hard and sincerely is part of God's will for your life. You read it. You want to know what God's will for your life is? It's to work hard. Well, Jeff, I hate my job, okay? But God has you there for now. And until you can find another one, you need to work at it with all your heart. Why? Because you're not working for men, you're working for the Lord. If you happen to have the privilege of working for someone who's a believer, then that's wonderful. But I'm here to tell you, it doesn't say if they're a believer or not. It just says you do your best. Why? Because you're working for the Lord, and this is God's will for you. Powerful passage. Continue to read. Doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service for a good, with a good will, rendering service with a good will, as to the Lord and not to man. How many times can he say it? As to the Lord and not to man. As to the Lord, you work for Christ. As to the Lord, not for people. Therefore, it's over and over and over again. And this is what I found when I was putting this series together and was looking at all the verses. It kept coming up over and over and over again. And I knew that was the one thing I wanted to get across to you. Remember, but it's so easy to forget. Remember that you work for Him. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you have to really get your mind around that whole concept. But you're working for Him. That seems to be the congruent thing that comes together with all of the scriptures of this particular picture of work. Right? Verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or he's free. So he mentions whether you're an indentured servant or whether you're a free servant, I want you to understand that those who work hard, it will always come back around to them. It becomes a picture. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. Because those that work hard have more opportunities than those who don't work hard. While those that don't work hard are constantly screaming, that's not fair. It's just the truth. It's incredible how the person that works hard will always have opportunities or will have more opportunities. It's just the way it works. Why? Because let me tell you this. Say I'm the boss, and I got two workers. I got two employees. I got one who works hard, and I got one who doesn't. Okay, I've come up, my business has picked up, so I need to add hours because I need more work done. So I look at these two. Which am I going to choose? I'm going to choose the guy that works hard. Therefore, he's going to have more, she's going to have more opportunities. While this guy is going to scream, you favor him over me. It's not the truth. I've just found those that work hard, those that are diligent, those that have an ethic in their work, it just is incredible, the opportunities that come around to them. Interesting. Okay, number two. Number one, then, is consistent in your character. We're going to have to move a little quicker now. Number two is diligent in their responsibility. All right, a couple of things I want to share with you. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14. For the fruit of his mouth, a man is satisfied with good. I love this one. And the work of man's hand comes back to him. So in other words, the way you do your work is like a boomerang. The way you do your work will eventually circle back around and come back to you. It's what we just talked about, and it's just stated again. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that's a great waster. Therefore, those who don't use their time to do their best is basically a brother, therefore, it's a way of speaking, with those who waste, who are extremely wasteful. Okay. Take a look down. Let's skip down to 2 Thessalonians chapter 6 and verse 12. And this wonderful picture of the work of the hands is a reward. But skip down now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now, this is where we tread over into the politically incorrect. But I just want the scriptures to say what they say. Okay. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness. So here's an admonition that Paul has for the Thessalonians. Those who are idle, stay away from them, because trouble is headed their way. And you don't want to be caught up into it when trouble hits. Jeff, what are you talking about idle? I'm talking about those who could work, but either choose not to work, or they are living off of others. How do you know that? We'll read the rest. Again, I just want this to say what it says. Here's the picture. Keep away from a brother who's walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we did not have the right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. In other words, Paul was among them, and even though he was working, what it says, day and night. So day he'd work to support himself, and at night he'd work to share the gospel with them. But he said he did it that way so that even though he had the right for them to support him, he didn't want to, because he wanted to provide an example of what it meant to work. To work. Now continue to read. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone's not willing to work, then he shouldn't eat. Now, I want you to remember this. It is a dangerous thing to give people free stuff. is it dangerous to the person who's getting the free stuff? Why? Because they become dependent on the free stuff and they are left idle. Therefore, they don't have to work. And that is not how you were created and made. All kinds of problems happen when you do it that way. When someone works hard, there's something that God puts inside of them, and they receive the rewards of working hard, which is buying food, buying things that they have self-earned. There's something that happens in here. There's a sense of worth. There's a sense of satisfaction, contentment. It's an amazing concept. And yet we're kind of blowing that one out of the water in our culture. And I want you to hear it. That's why Paul said, I think probably the problem here in Thessalonians is that there were groups of people that were figuring out, hey, listen, you know, this church is taught to be benevolent and help people who are in need. Hey, here's what we'll do. We'll quit work and y'all just feed us. And then that way we can do what we want to do and then we don't have to worry about it. And then Paul writes kind of an important verse. He says, okay, let me tell you something. From now on, if they don't work, they don't eat. Oh, that's cruel. Is it? Is it? It's an incredible thing. The guys in here, listen to my heart. Listen to my heart. I'm not talking about people who are disabled. I'm not talking about children. We should help as much as we can with those. But I'm here to tell you, when you help someone who's able-bodied, you are stealing from them dignity and all kinds of self-worth and all kinds of wrong thinking. Let me give you an example. If you give somebody a free lunch every day for the next 6 months, and then you decide to say, okay, no more free lunches, I promise you that they will not write you thank you letters for the past 6 months of free lunches. They will be critical of you because there are no more free lunches. In fact, they will almost accuse you of being uncompassionate. Incompassionate. What's the word? Whatever. You know what I'm saying. Isn't that interesting? Why? Because it does something to the person. They become ungrateful. And they even begin to say, well, wait a minute. Interesting, isn't it? It hurts that person. Things to think about. Things to think about. What does it mean to be a follower of Him? Let's continue to read. Continue. It gets even tougher. Tougher than that, Jeff? Yep, absolutely. Take a look at it. Look what it says here. For even when we were with you, we would give him, and if not, one would let him not eat. Look at verse 11. For we hear that some are among you are walk, that is, you're living in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now, here's also what happens to someone who has a lot of free time on their hand. They almost always become what we call busybodies. That is, they are inserting themselves in everyone else's business. And they are making critiques and comments on everybody else's business. And let me tell you this. Those who are idle will always, most always become critical of the people who are working. About how they could do it better or what they should be doing or if you had this or if you had that. Isn't that interesting? Therefore, because they're idle, the person that's working alongside of you will rarely be critical. If they are, then you listen to them. But I've learned not to listen to people who are idle because it's almost always the man. It's even in churches. Do you know sometimes the most critical people are the ones that don't do nothing? They got plenty of time to look at everybody else and get critical of what they're doing. But I found the people who get in the game aren't critical. Let me give you for instance. When I was in Tampa, we had a church over in Tampa. We had a lot of the Bucks players in our church. So I used to go to a lot of the games. I'd get free tickets. Actually, it was pretty cool, to be honest with you, for a while. And so I'd go to the games, but I stopped. I just stopped going. Number one, I just don't like beer being spilled on me. Just call me crazy. I just don't enjoy that. And it's going to happen, by the way. But number two, the other thing I don't like is I hate sitting in the stands listening to all the experts making comments about the game. All right, now listen real close. I hope you'll catch this illustration. Because all the experts that I'm sitting with, you can look at them and tell you that they've never played. And it's real easy to be critical and complain when you don't understand what the guys on the field are going through. Armchair quarterbacks, what you call them. This is what this verse is talking about. Those that are idle, that is those that aren't in the work process, it's incredible how they'll become busybodies. That is critical of everybody else. But Paul says, I've got a cure for you. Don't stop feeding them. Stop feeding them. They'll get hungry enough where they'll get something. They'll work. You say, oh, that's cruel. That's horrible. That's terrible. Okay, you might want to say it, but I'm here to tell you, it's what the Scripture teaches here, especially with the church in Thessalonians. Interesting. Powerful. Powerful things when it talks about this. All right. No such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. I think that's an interesting thing. Number three, and this is where we'll close. And this won't take long, but it has to do with authority. And I'm going to skip some of the things out because I've run out of time. But authority is a hated word today. Nobody wants to be under authority. Nobody wants to listen. Nobody wants to be told what to do. But I want you to know that God takes it seriously. It's not so to be among you if you're a believer. It may seem really cool to rebel because they glorify it in the media and they glorify it in Hollywood and the movies and TV shows. Someone who rebels this and, great, it's wonderful. But I'm here to tell you that that's not the way God looks at it. There's all types of authority that have been put into the world. Parental authority is one that seems God takes the most serious. Parental authority. Governmental authority. We'll read a little bit about it in Romans. But also, those that you report to as work. The being under authority doesn't mean you can't share how you feel, whatever. But when it comes down to it, that person's in charge. And that I have found that we're going to do what that person says. And when you understand what the Scripture teaches, Romans chapter 13, verse 1, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God that exists that has not been instituted by God. That may seem like a strange statement to you, but I want you to know that Jesus did not come into the world to lead a rebellion. He never led his followers to go out and rebel. In fact, it was exactly the opposite. Even Paul says here in 13, be underneath the authority of the government. Now, I've got a question for you. Who do you think the book of Romans was written to? The Romans. Yeah, y'all are brilliant. The Romans. Anybody remember who ruled at the time? Rome. Rome was ruled. Did any of you remember some of the Caesars? You had Tiberius. You know who took over after Tiberius? Caligula. If you don't know who I'm talking about, just go Google it. These were tyrants. You know, that's another thing, and I've got to be done. There's so much here. Read the rest of this because it talks about being under the authority of the government, being under the authority of those that you're part of. But I've also found this, is that when you take a look at what authority represents, I want you to know that God takes it serious. And the reason he takes it serious is because of he is the ultimate authority. Because there's going to be opportunities that you're going to have to obey those that are over you unless they ask you to do something that is against what God tells you to do. Therefore, if you have somebody who is an authority that says, I want you to lie, I want you to do this, you don't have to. You don't have to obey on those cases. But if they ask you, then we just need to do it. Because I have found that those people who tend to be the people who are best in authority were those who have learned to be under authority. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I have found that if you elevate somebody to a whole lot of authority who's never been under authority, you will only create a tyrant. People who lead the best, people who are in authority the best, are the ones who have been underneath others' authority. Makes sense, doesn't it? Why? Because when you've never had to know, when you've never had to answer to anyone, then I'm here to tell you, you don't even know what it means. Let me give you, for instance, therefore, if your job is emptying the trash, we'd call that pretty menial. But if it's not emptied, it's not menial anymore. But I'm here to tell you this. I've found that those who will be responsible to do the little things, the more opportunities will circle the block and come back at them. Because God always teaches people to learn how to be an authority, to listen. You know, the greatest examples, I've got to be done. I've even got some things to learn I'm not even going to be able to get to today. But I want you to hear this. Joseph is the story. How many of you know what happened to Joseph? Okay, probably a good many of you did. Joseph was a kid. He had a lot of brothers, and his brothers didn't like him. In fact, his brothers hated him so much they sold him into slavery. He was taken to Egypt, sold into slavery, and he went to work in slavery. And it said that Joseph, as opposed to crying and whining about why did this happen to me, I didn't do anything wrong, he decides to be the best servant he can be. And he works hard, and he works hard. He does the small things. And then this man named Potiphar elevates him in the household up to where Potiphar just entrusts everything to him, because over the long haul, Joseph has shown himself faithful to be under authority. That's why I'm telling you, people who are under authority make the best people to be in authority. Never put anyone in authority who hasn't been under authority. You will create a tyrant, or at best, someone who's irresponsible. Anyway, so Joseph, and then you know the story, Potiphar's wife lied about him, now he's thrown into prison. How many of you know what happened in prison? He works hard. He does the little things he's entrusted with. And it says that he raises up the ranks in prison. They begin to entrust him with other prisoners. I mean, it's just who he is. Why? Because he's learned to be under authority. Through a series of events, if you know the story, right? Technicolor Dreamcoat, right? If you know the story, through a series of events, he is elevated to second in command of the most powerful nation of his time. How can anybody handle such power? You can only handle it if you've learned to be under authority. If you've learned what it's like to be the slave over here. If you've learned what it's like to be the prisoner here. But see, God was putting him through a school of learning to be under authority so he could handle a huge position. So as you think about work, it's amazing. We know these things will be true in our mind, but inside it just feels good. Yeah, I'm not doing it. You know, we're gonna. You know what I'm saying? It's what feels good. But I'm here to tell you, it's not who God's called us to be. That is, we're to work. We're to work as hard as we can. We're to listen, because there's going to be times in your life. I want you to hear this. You're going to be smarter than the person that's over you. In fact, to be honest, I'm here to tell you, every good boss wants to hire people smarter than him. It's only a dumb boss that will only hire people dumber than him. I want to get people in here that think better than I do and that do better than I do. Yes, so you're going to know better sometimes, but remember, when it comes down to it, he's in charge, she's in charge. And God puts a lot of stock in that. Read through the scriptures when it comes to authority. Doesn't mean you can't give ideas. Doesn't mean you can't give opinions. But it comes down into like in the military. The military is best run when the people in charge are listened to and you do it. Is it always right? No. But usually it is pretty effective because everybody's on the same page. I could go on and on. I got to be done. I promise. I'm going to be done right now. As I close, I just wanted to share with you today. See, these things are huge. These things are kind of life-changing and life-altering. I'm here to tell you, if you start implementing some of these principles in the way you do your work, you'll be amazed at how these things begin to affect who you are as a believer and see things change around you. Maybe not all at once, but these are who God's called us to be. And they're pretty powerful stuff in the way. Now, come on out, Tim, wherever you are. We're going to close. I want to give you a commercial for next week. Let me tell you about next week. Do not miss next week. Next week, we're going to talk about rest. God's design for rest. I think it's going to be different than you think it's going to be. But you know, God designed us for rest. And when we don't have it, it has huge impacts on our health. And are you ready for this? When we have too much of it, it can destroy us also. I'm looking forward to share it with you. All right? All right, good deal. Let's all stand. All right, we'll have a closing word of prayer. If you're a guest with us, please stop by and say hello to me at the guest reception. Tim, close this.